We're on page 191. This is an interesting section. It's about ahava v'haracha, love and showing value and valuing one's students and one's children. There's a bunch of smallest chapters. We're going to not do all of them tonight. We'll just do the first two. Let's talk about over here the idea that the nature of people, he writes, is that people want to be valued. The teva adam is that people want to be valued and people want to be appreciated, and they want to know that people appreciate and value them as well. And he said he heard once from a rebbe, bari nefashos rabos v'chesronan, that he says, unfortunately, for many people, the chesronos often come out more. That Hashem made rabos v'chesronan, right? We have to show people that they're rabos more than they're chesronan. We have to highlight the positive. What?
It's easy to criticize.
It's easy, exactly. It's easy to criticize.
It's harder to compliment.
So he brings a beautiful raya to this from the Rambam. The Rambam, in discussing the mitzvah of Halacha Kabocha, which is what I set out on the chat before Shabbos, so the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, mitzvah al kol adam, it's a mitzvah in every person, leho v'skol echad v'echad mi'yisrael kegufo, to love every single Jew as you would yourself, shnei amar, v'yahafta l'reicha kamocha. And then the Rambam says, so how do you manifest v'hashreicha kamocha? L'fichach tzarech l'saper b'shivcho. And therefore you need to praise another Jew. The Rambam paskins l'halacha. The way you fulfill the mitzvah of v'yahafta kamocha is praising another person. Because you also want to feel valued and praised. And the way to show how you feel about another person is to praise them as well. That you tell a person, you have beautiful glasses you just bought, tell a person has a nice voice, that you're a really logical person, you think things through, you're really together. People want to hear compliments because people want to feel valued and they want to feel special. And when you show value to someone, then you show love. And that is what Shlomo Hoffman says. When you show another person that you value them and there's something special about them, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of the Hashreicha Kamocha and you're showing you love them. That's how you show love, that you value this other person. And he says, Ha'aracha zuno senes leben adam koach umidabranos oso lesameitz. When you show another person that you value them, it gives them the koach and the ability to strive and to persevere and to grow. And that's the best thing you can do. If you want to get someone, I'd imagine, I don't work so much in the business world, but I imagine if you are in charge of people and you want to get them to work harder, work better, to push themselves, you have to show them they are a valued employee, that they bring something to the table. That there's something, if you're constantly belittling them, telling them they did a bad job, and you're no good at this, and you always get this wrong, they're not going to want to work hard. He's going to bring a very fascinating case in a little bit. We'll talk about this. And he said, yeah.
You should apply your students then also?
You should have your students as well. If you want a student to work, to persevere and to try, then you have to give them the koach that you show that they're valued, they have what to bring to the table. And obviously, you know, for us with our children as well, if you want our children to grow and to persevere and to work and to become something, show them that they are valued and they are special. Say nice things, and praising people is a mitzvah in the Torah. He says there's no mitzvah in the Torah to criticize a person, but there is a mitzvah in the Raisa to raise a person up. Hocheach tochiach sabisecha is when it's going to be constructive and that you're going to guide them in the right to do thing. But to tell another person you're a shagid, you're a loser, you're not smart, you're lazy, or things like that, it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah, he said, bevadai, the mitzvah d'oraisa of hachrecha kamocha is every single time you show somebody that they're valued and they're special. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa that's accessible that everyone can do.
What's the difference between reyacha and amasecha?
That's in lumdus, in halacha, why the Torah uses reyacha in different places, depends who it's speaking to. That's more of a issue in halacha. I didn't send out because we saw this Rashi before, the Rashi in Yavama Staf Kofi Zion. And he says that, remember he spoke about who do you send your son to learn to in yeshiva? You send your son to learn by somebody who is going to shine on them and it's going to connect with them. Not always the best Rosh Yeshiva and the best Magid Shir. It has to be the person that Rashi says, he says, Im rabo mazbil opanim hu machkim v'im lav eno machkim rabo. Right? This is what Rashi says. He says, if the Rebbe is mazbil opanim, the Rebbe shines his face on him, the Rebbe shows him that he cares about him, then he's going to be machkim. But it doesn't matter if it's the biggest Rosh Yeshiva and he's the biggest Baal Kishon and he's the best Magid Shir. If the Rebbe is not being masbir lo panim, the Rebbe is not shining at him and, you know, really telling him that he's effective and he's doing great things and he has a lot of positive things, then it's not going to work. You have to be masbir person. Even if it is the Gadol Hador, it's not going to work. So he says, over here, he said he wants to tell us, he wants to tell some stories about Rav Meir HaChadosh, Rav Chasik Lasarna, Rav Isaac Sher, and he said that a Yisod Gadol in Chevron, in Yeshiva in Chevron, is that the Roshi Yeshiva always had something unique and a special shvach for the Talmidim in Chevron. Everybody had a special thing that the Roshi Yeshiva said. There was something unique about it. And that was the Derech. Why? Because Chevron is really Slavatka and Godless Ha'adam and raising people up. Doesn't matter what it was. So he gives some examples over here. And he said Rav Isaac Shira would say that about Rav Rafal Shapir. Rafal Shapir was the Rosh Yeshiva in Tiferes Yisrael and Haifa. They would say that he has a hapkadaka cup. He's a person who could always analyze things from a different way. Always saw different sides. That was the praise that he got. And he went on to become Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Zerach Shapiro was a very close Talmud of the Brisker Rav and the Chazon Ish. So about him, they would say that he was a mumch in Hilchos Shabbos. That was the shvach they would give him. He was an expert in Hilchos Shabbos. And they always turned to him for Hilchos Shabbos questions in the yeshiva. And Rav Shlomo Epstein, they said that he is the best Bal Korei. He was the most perfect Bal Korei. And they said about Rav Chatzkel Sarna said about somebody else that he was Chatzi Eloi. He was half an Eloi. He was half an Eloi. So he was saying, and he said this person that would go on to become one of the Gedolei Hador. And he wrote many Svarim and Shuvah Svarim and Halacha and things like that. That an Eloi is a person, but this person had an Eloishan tendency about him. Everybody had something. And then Shlomo Hoffman said about himself that they would say about me as a Gutter Ha'erer. That Shlomo Hoffman was good at noticing things. He picked up on subtleties that nobody else had. And obviously that would serve him well in what he went on to do. Now, the rest of the chapter here are all stories that Rav Simcha Stein collected, either Rav Shlomo Hoffman said about himself or by interviewing people, of how Rav Shlomo Hoffman was able to pick up on nuances. They're geschmack stories. I'll sell a couple of them, but it's not really, they kind of like goes off the rails over here a little bit. It's not really related to Chinuch, but it just talks about his ability and what people noticed about him in davening. He was, we said before, Rav Shlomo Hoffman was very close with Rav Dov Schwartzman, who was Ron Cutler's son-in-law. They were very, very close with each other, and they learned in Beis HaTalmud together when Dov Schwartzman started Beis HaTalmud, and he noticed that when Rav Dov Schwartzman was davening for the Amud, when he was in Avel, that he would pick up on certain things. So he said, for example, he would say in Shemoneh Esrei, "V'na'altu shivenu reika milfanacha." He would highlight the word reika. Hashem shouldn't send us away empty-handed. And Rav Shlomo Hoffman picked up from that, just that emphasis on that word, that we're telling to, a person should say to Hashem, that even if you're not going to give me what I want, Hashem, even if you're not going to give me, you know, the things that I ask for, but don't let me suffer the bizyonos of being empty. Don't let me suffer not having anything. And that was a nekuda that he noticed in a nuance in davening as well. Harotz b'tshuva, different things like that, and different types of things that Rav Shlomo Hoffman would notice about and pick up on. He tells a story here that Rav Hoffman was very close with Rav Shlomo of Zhvil, the Zhvil Rav, who the base medrash, his yeshiva base medrash is right next to the mirror. So he was very close with him. And one day he was in his house and Rav Shlomo of Zhvil had to go out for an errand. And he said, "Someone's coming to meet me. You tell them if I come back, I'll be back in 20 minutes. So Rav Shlomo Hoffman started to sit there and read all the kvitlach that people dropped off. And he read the first one, the second one, the third one. He stopped because they were so depressing. This one didn't have married for 20 years, didn't have children. This one didn't have this. And they were just sad to read all these kvitlach. And then Rav Shlomo Zhvil walked in and he said, "How come you're not reading my kvitlach? How come you stopped reading them?" So he said, "How could you read these things? How could you? They're so hard." And Rav Shlomo Zhvil told him, he said, why should I be the only one who has to hear hard things? He said, "Well, you should also be able to do it. You should also be able to train yourself to be sensitive to these things." And he said that, first of all, I learned a few things. First of all, I learned to Yisod in what it means to read Kvitlach, just to be carry the burden of another person. He said, but also I understand where someone said about Rishlomo Hoffman, I understand now where Rishlomo Hoffman got the kochos to help other people. That he got that from Rishlomo Ushvil, because Rishlomo Ushvil told him that you have to train yourself also to hear the pain and be sensitive to other people. So all these things about nuances and stories of Rishlomo Hoffman, they're all very nice, and there's a lot of very nice things here as well. But I don't want to get, maybe we can tell stories for another time. Tell stories about Rav Shach and his relationship with Rav Shach and how Rav Shach would open up to him and, you know, give him certain things. Let's just, for the sake of, for right now, let's just focus on the Perek Beis in this section. This is on page 205. So he talks about an interesting story, a tragic story as well, about a bachur who was suffering from seemingly some sort of depression, just not doing what he was supposed to do. So he said, this idea of being, to be midarvein means to stimulate. How do you stimulate? How do you get a child to want to work and try to be better and try to grow again? So he said, obviously, you can't put them down. You need to compliment them that they're valued. If you show the child they're valued and they have something special, they'll want to grow, they'll want to persevere more. So he tells the story here about a bachur who came to him who was not functioning. He was a real balkishon, a very bright young man, but none of his chavrusas wanted to learn with him because he never came on time to Seder. And slowly, like the whole yeshiva, nobody wanted to learn with him. And the kid was falling apart. So they sent him to Shlomo Hoffman to figure out what's going on with this kid. So the young man comes to Shlomo Hoffman and he said, asks him, why did you come here? And the bachur said, they said, you could help me. And nobody wants to learn with me because I get up late for morning Seder. And I always get tired and it's hard for me to come. So Shlomo said, you know, I met with him for a half hour. I didn't mention a word to him about, you know, him getting up late. I just wanted to talk and get to know him. Where did you learn Yeshiva Katana? Where did you learn in Cheder? A little bit about his parents. So I asked him, in Cheder, you were a good boy? You were like average, anything special? So he said, I was a very good student. So what point in your learning do you have trouble getting up in the morning? He said, I always had trouble getting up. So he asked him, you know, tell me about what are questions that you would ask in Cheder? Tell me how you you would learn. So he said, when I was a little boy in Cheder, I would ask very good questions. And the Rebbe would say that you're a Schwitzer. It's a Schwitzer. You want to show off. You're just asking good questions because you're a little bit of a Balgaiva and you want people to pay attention to you. And afterwards, when I wanted to go from Cheder to Yeshiva Katana, so they told him that you're a bit of a Balgaiva. Need to be careful not to go to this yeshiva, because Balgaiva there, they don't treat them so nicely. So they sent him to a different yeshiva katana and said. And then I wanted to go learn yeshiva gadola, and I wanted to go to Chevron. So they said, Chevron, no, you're a Schwitzer. You like to show off. It's not good for you to go to, you should go to a different yeshiva. So Rav Hoffman said that this boy, by nature, he was a tamim, he was naive. And he listened to whatever people said to him. He was afraid of going to Ganim. So he heard people say that he was a Balgaiva. And from that point on, even though he had a lot of kishonis in learning, everybody passed him over. And he essentially came to his own conclusion about himself that even though he was asking good questions, what happened was the Rebbeim couldn't answer his questions because his questions were so good. The Rebbe didn't want to see him like Am Haaretz. So the Rebbe said, you know, okay, you're just a show-off. You're not really into it. You're not doing it for the right reasons. And all of this muzzled him because nobody valued him. He was a good kid with a bright head, and everybody shut him down, and nobody showed that he was valued. And so what happened? That led him to being depressed. So why would he want to get up in the morning? Why would he want to go to morning Seder if he thinks, I'm just a Balgaiva, what am I doing there? So he showed him the Gra. We had learned about this Gra a while ago. The Gra says, right, there's three steps that lead to depression. And eventually, in the third step, a person shuts down. When a person thinks he has no kochas and nefesh, and it's not worth it, eventually you shut down and you're not interested. And you don't want to do anything. And when a person's not interested in persevering and growing, so they don't do anything. In the box over here, he talks about that the terrible thing that labels do to a child. All you need is a kid in third grade to get one label. The Mora gives him a label in third grade, And then it's done. Like, that label carries with him the rest of his life, and he can't break away from it. And how damaging that is, that that label sticks with them again and again and again. So over time, he writes that I began to speak with him about, you know, self-esteem and evaluating himself. And I would ask him, what do you like to learn? What do you want to grow in? How do you want to persevere? And he would always be mazalzel himself. He said, no, it's not worth it. I'm not such a good head. But working with him over time, I would tell him, you know, open up a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, open up a Rambam, ask a Kasha, and he would begin to train the young man slowly and surely to, you know, tell himself that he had what to offer. And over time, he was able to, you know, work on himself and get to that place. And, you know, tell him to make his own decisions and be his own person. And all these things became an important part of his avodah. So he writes over here, just in the conclusion of this piece, let's talk about, you know, self-esteem, gaiva, humility, things like that. He says, "Bederach klal, people never have the right evaluation of themselves." He says, either people exaggerate too much about themselves, or they pachos midai, or too low. He says, that's the issue with many people. People don't hit it on the mark when they evaluate where their kochos nefesh are, what they have. So the Ramban says, what does anava mean? The Ramban writes, anava means that each person is getting close to the MS, but if the person is a real anav, he knows exactly where he's holding. He's not yoser, he's not pachos, he's not more or less. A real anav knows exactly where he's holding. That's the Ramban's definition. The Rambam explains that the reason a person values himself less than he is, he says, is not because of frumkeit. That's why a person has, it's not because the person's too frum. It's because the person is lazy. The Rambam writes in Pirkei Avos that the person holds himself to a lower standard, because if he holds himself to a higher standard, then he realizes he's going to have to work harder, right? If he puts himself on a higher pedestal, I might have to, you know, work and live up to that reputation. That might be my reality. So what does a person do? He says, I'm not such a good learner, and I'm not such a good davener, I'm not such a generous person, because now I don't have to work so hard. The Rambam writes in Pirkei Avos, "V'alsi rush v'chanas." Well, you saw this Rambam before. Don't be a rush in your own eyes. The Rambam says, "Im yachshov adam es atzmo rasha, lo techamura beinav shum avera lasosa." If I hold myself to be a rasha, well, then if I do an avera, then what did you expect of me? That's exactly what I am. "K'shi yachshov adam atzmo chasru pachos, lo yigdal beinav chisron she'aseo." If I view myself to be lesser, then if I don't do it, then what's going to be the big deal? And therefore, this teaches us that the reason that a person thinks himself to be pachos, less than, is because he wants to be able to do more than he can do. He wants to rise above. So if I have a very low standard, I'll be able to rise above that. But he says the opposite. He says, Slobodka teaches us. The Madregas, the milus of the godless Adam, is that, why do they stress this? Why do the Alter Slobodka stress this so much? Because if you have a young man, and you have a young person, or a young woman, and you tell them this is what you are capable of, and you tell them you can do it, then it'll raise them up. It'll pull them up. If you tell a young person, you have a good head, you're a kind person, you're generous, you have all these kochos there, and you show them what's special about them, they'll want to rise to the occasion, because they'll see that, oh, I can do it, I can do something more, and this is the idea that he develops over here.